VolitionRx, a multinational epigenetics company revolutionizing cancer diagnosis with the development of simple, easy-to-use, cost-effective blood tests involving a range of cancers and other diseases. Volition's clinical trials in human health have shown promising results in detecting several cancer types, including colorectal, lung, and a variety of bloodborne cancers. VolitionRx. Web address, volition.com.
The proceeding may contain forward-looking statements which may not be realized.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor speaking to Svetlana Scarbaugh. Svetlana is the editor of the Siberian Times. In English, you can access it online. We've been discussing the wildfires, but we are in a pandemic. Therefore, I ask Svetlana about the precautions in Novosibirsk, a large town in the heart of Siberia, and the availability of vaccine. I testify, Svetlana, that I spoke to Magnitogorsk in these last hours, to a colleague who said that the city is depopulating. There are mostly pensioners to be seen on the streets, and they're cautious, and he didn't know the vaccine rate in Novosibirsk. However, it was true that he didn't see many masks. He saw some, not many masks. How is it in Novosibirsk? Are people well masked? Is the vaccine readily available? What is the opinion?
I wouldn't say that people are well masked. It depends on where you go in Novosibirsk, because where I am based, it's a scientific center slightly outside the main city. And Novosibirsk, just to remind, is Russia's third largest city, so it's nearly 2 million people, and it's quite well spread along the great river Ob. So sadly, I would say that there isn't a culture of mask wearing in the main part of the city, but some areas people are being cautious. With the vaccination, I would say that we're very, very slowly, I mean, sadly how slowly it is really, but very slowly we're getting to the better rates. But the campaign has been going so far painfully slow with the vaccination. There are vaccines available, it's just that the people are still making their minds about whether they do or do not get it, basically. That's the main issue.
Yes, I mentioned that in reporting from Moscow, there have been various phases of the vaccine requirements. For example, for a while, for a few weeks, and I'm certain you know this, all of Russia knew this, the mayor of Moscow asked the people to show proof of vaccination before they entered restaurants or cafes or bars or karaoke bars. And the restaurateurs rejected that mandate, and it was relieved. And you know, Moscow is a very large city of excellent communication, lots of young people. So it was striking how the center listened to the people, the store owners saying, we have to survive. You can't make us follow this requirement. In Novosibirsk, is going into a restaurant, are you asked to show a proof of vaccination? Are you sitting wide apart? How is it for in an area where people are said to be exposed while they're eating?
So there wasn't a rule of, like it was in Moscow, there wasn't a rule of having obligatory vaccination records when you enter a restaurant. It was considered to be polite, and you would be asked to be wearing a mask by a hostess, and many would do that. It's luckily the time now in Novosibirsk when many restaurants are filling outside. We have so many different cuisines. Like, we have lots of, I would say, brilliant French and Italian restaurants, lovely British, I mean, not British, Irish pubs, and many of them are trying to arrange the outdoor summer facilities. So that helps a lot, because for people eating, dining outside, it helps. And so it never was obligatory for Novosibirsk to show the vaccination records. And I know that from the friends who are in restaurant business, they were hit hard enough by the several lockdowns which we had during the first and second wave. So many said that we wouldn't survive if we had to go through what Moscow had to go through. I mean, the restaurants of Moscow.
Finally, in my conversation with Svetlana, and I look forward to many more, to report on Siberia integrated into the world scale story of the changing climate. The brown bear. The brown bear is a great favorite in Siberia, I learned from the Siberian Times. First, a sad story. Brown bears have been observed along the roads where the wildfires are, begging drivers for food, families. There's a photograph in Siberian Times of cubs begging at the edge of the car. Brown bears, however, are not entirely comical figures. They can be very threatening. And the Siberian Times has a wonderful story I just mentioned quickly. A cat belonging to hunters stood off a brown bear. Svetlana, I was flabbergasted to see the bravery of that cat. What did you think when you saw the story of the cat backing away the young brown bear?
We laughed so hard when I actually couldn't believe my eyes. I thought it was first that this must have been, there must have been a bigger distance between the cat and the bear. I had to watch the video several times to actually believe it, because the way how the brown bear, at some point brown bear, stands up and marks the tree, a pine tree, to show the cat who's the boss. And the cat doesn't move an inch. Stands in the same place in a threatening position with the back high up and the tail high up, and as if it really isn't as if it turned into a stone or something, I don't know. But the fishermen who owned the cat and who brought the cats to their trip, they were shocked as well, and I think that they didn't expect the cat to behave in this way. And they've explained later that they couldn't move, because if they were to move, then they could have provoked the brown bear to attack. And in this case, the situation would have ended up not at all as cheerful as actually, because the cat won. The cat showed the brown bear who was the boss, and the bear left.
Svetlana, I want to make it clear to people who are listening to us that they can read your page regularly. How can they find you? How can they contribute to your paper? And what is your ambition for the Siberian Times? In founding it, what did you hope to achieve? We have a couple of minutes.
We're a tiny, tiny team, independent team of journalists. So our ambition was very small, to just give Siberia a little voice in English to be read and to reach the corners of the world, which we thought that they would like to know a bit more about the area where we were born and the area which we love dearly, because we believe that it deserves the attention, and it's a brilliant place to see and to read about and to visit. It's to survive the times, because it's for any independent media, it's not an easy time. So we would love to have more readers, of course, whoever will be interested, and we would love to welcome you to read a bit more about Serbia, and we'll just try to do better, because there's a lot more for our little team to do to make the page more interesting. So please come along and read, and we'd be delighted to see you.
Svetlana Skarbo is the editor of the Siberian Times. There are many more stories to tell. This is a part of the region where there are discoveries all the time about archaic humans, the Denisovans, the Neanderthals, early Homo sapiens, the waves sweeping into Siberia on their way to North America once upon a time. This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.